Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am honored today to have the legendary Mr. David Tal, one of the founders of Agentology, on to share as much value as we possibly can around sales, follow-up systems, processes. This guy is brilliant, and I'm really excited to bring that brilliance to the podcast here today so you guys can get some value out of it. So David, man, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting with us a little bit.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Love it, love it, love it. So for anybody that doesn't know, just give us the quick background. Who is David Tal, and how did you get to where you are today?
Who is David Tal is a very deep and dark journey. You don't want to go all the way, but I'm still trying to find that out. But I am the co-founder and the CEO of Agentology. We are the leading lead engagement and qualification solution for the real estate and mortgage industry. Little bit about me. I got started in real estate as an agent and then a broker for over a decade. Saw firsthand that big kind of transition and how people were, you know, generating new business. It used to be all in person and referrals, and with the rise of Zillow and Realtor.com and Facebook and all of that, started to really see that big shift in how people generated new business. And so that's what led me down this path of helping, real estate agents and mortgage professionals find better ways to quickly engage new prospects, qualify them, and set up appointments so that they can have the most impact.
Love it. And you guys are one of the best for sure. And I know that by experience. I have a lot of people that, I've recommended Agentology to. I've heard an amazing amount of feedback. How do you guys do it, man? How can you, in such an organized way, perform the way that you guys perform for so many people?
You know, we didn't always, right? We just started somewhere. Our entire focus is around how to create the most genuine and authentic conversations at scale. That is our passion and our focus. We are over 100 employees, all here in our San Diego headquarters. So we're all deep on this. We have 20 engineers and tons of really experienced executives and staff and that really cares. And we're here to build the engagement solutions of the future. And so, part of what we've really done is we've broken down things into, a few key important focuses. How do we quickly engage leads and how do we qualify them? And how can we learn from our data at scale to create a more optimal script and a more optimal cadence? Best times to reach out, best scripts to use, does saying hello work better than hey? Because we're doing this at scale for thousands of top, real estate professionals, we can learn at scale a lot quicker as well. We can A/B test things at a big scale. We have thousands of leads every single day that we're working, so we can quickly iterate and test things out. And so what we've become real experts at is what is the best way to engage a new lead, to follow up and qualify them, and to follow up long term if they're not ready.
What is the best way to engage a lead?
So first I'll take your credit card. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I teach this all the time because I love to teach it. Whether you use our service or not, I want to give this information out because my passion is not just about growing our company. It's really about creating better consumer experiences and keeping real estate agents relevant. I come from this industry. I love it. I'm not just a real estate agent and broker. But I'm an investor, I'm a buyer, I'm a seller of real estate, and I've been a tenant. And so I really think it matters how people engage and communicate with their customers. So I'll tell you what has really worked, what we have really learned. When we first started many years ago, because this is what people said they wanted, and this is what I thought we needed to do too, is just pick up the phone and call new prospects. Someone fills out a form on Zillow or wherever, you just have to immediately pick up the phone and call them as many times as possible until you get a hold of them. That got, this much engagement rate, right? Then we started saying, hey, let's be smarter and leverage text. So let's text leads. And that increased engagement rate dramatically because for a few reasons, people obviously prefer to text. Everyone will tell you they prefer to text. They don't have to get bogged down on a phone call. Also, nobody answers that phone call anyway because they don't know what number it is and they're used to getting spam calls and they don't want to answer the call, but they all see the text. And so if it's contextual and relevant, they will answer it. Thirdly, so this was calling, this was texting. Now what we do, drones. No, I'm kidding. Now what we do is we leverage both. What we do is we text first. However, on that first text, we offer to call them. We're leveraging text to get people on a phone call. So our and this is all customizable with our system, but what we recommend and what our standard practice is something along the lines of, hey, Bob, this is David with the blank blank Keller Williams team. I saw you were interested in this property on my website or on Zillow. Is now, and this is key, is now a good time for a quick call or would you prefer to text? What we're doing there is twofold. And here's why it's important. I'll just break it down. We're leveraging text because it gets to them quickly. And frankly, we automate that first text. That way we can make sure we get something out quickly to everybody around the clock. When they engage back, when they respond back and say, call me, about a third of the time they say, call me. We pick up the phone, or real humans here in San Diego pick up the phone. We're 24/7. They pick up the phone and they call them. It could be at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. We will pick up the phone and call them if they requested a call. And guess what? 90-something percent of the time, they actually pick up the call and they're in a good mood about it. They don't feel like we just interrupted their day because they picked up thinking it was someone else and then it was us. And then now we're in a call and they're trying to get off the call, right? We asked them if they prefer to call. They said yes. We called them, they pick up, and we have a great phone call. The other two-thirds of the time, they say text is better. Why? Because they're at work, right? They're busy. They're at soccer practice or wherever. And frankly, most people prefer to text. But what happens is now we get into a perfect conversation via text where we're getting all the important information right away, not having to make any cold call attempts and wasting people's hours and time. That's why we can do what we do effectively and cost effectively. But what's important about that first text is that two things. One, we don't look like a bot. Even though we do automate that first text, because we offer to call them and we can back it up and call them right away after, they don't feel it's a bot. They don't ignore it. They actually answer it. We get huge engagement on it. Secondly, we're giving the consumer choice. Do you prefer to text or prefer a quick call? You know, older people, different demographics. If you're available, you may say, yeah, call me. It's easier for me to just blab it all out to you now. But other people, younger people particularly, but not only, prefer to text, and we're giving them the choice. And so that's what's to date created the most impactful connections at scale.
I love it. How do you maintain engagement through text? Like, one of the biggest complaints I hear, maybe not a complaint, just curiosity, is, you know, I feel like I don't like to text as much. This is an agent speaking. I don't like to text as much because that person can just stop talking to me anytime that they want. It's like, well, yeah, obviously that's true. But is there a strategy I get how you create engagement. How do you maintain engagement? How do you keep people interested in the conversation?
So this is why we believe tech has to play a huge role here. We always say that humans alone are inefficient. Technology alone is inauthentic. We need to bridge the two to create the most impactful connections at scale. We leverage AI and tech not to communicate, but to tell us when to follow up. So if a text conversation goes dull or silent, they stop responding, our system will automatically ping our system and say, time to follow up. And we'll send a, hey, just check it in text. Hey, is there a better time? But think about it. If that person is like that on text, how do you think they would have been to get a hold of on the phone and to actually have a meaningful conversation?
Of course, yeah.
Some of these guys that truly, truly drop off, they're the ones you want to filter out. There is such a power in filtering out because it allows you to focus in on who is prime.
Very true. But most people don't focus in on the things that are going well. They focus in on the things that are not going well. But I could not agree more that you've got to pay attention to the people that are, you know, basically swimming towards you, as opposed to paying attention to the people that aren't.
And we keep engaging people, and we have like automatic nurture drips and stuff like that for people who go dark, silent, who haven't responded in the first place to any of our calls or texts. We have a 6-month cadence of trying to get a hold of them. With the total cadence that we have, even though it's 6 months, within the first 48 hours, we get a hold of over 90% of people. Mm. Even if it's to tell us, don't bother, I'm not interested, buzz off, that's what you want to hear.
Right.
From the people who were clickbaited into filling out a form, who already have an agent, who are just renting, who just aren't ready. We're not super pushy either. I mean, we pace out these things. But because we have an authentic first engagement, and a couple of follow-up texts in the first 24 to 48 hours that are, hey, I just want to make sure I didn't drop the ball. I saw you were interested. I wanted to make sure I'm here to serve. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of element, that type of feeling, people feel obligated to respond. They feel rude not responding, even if it's to say, you know right. what, check with me next week. This week's busy. And then we'll do that. Or we'll let the agent know, hey, we spoke to Mary. She said this week is tough, but she wants to call next week on Wednesday around 3 p.m. That's exactly what you want us to do, is to right. get a hold of that person and tee up a follow-up for yourself.
Now, I'm going to dig into your data a little bit here. How have you guys seen, you know, here's the optimal touch points, touch point being a call or text or email, whatever. Here's the optimal touch points to get a phone call or an appointment, or can you break down some of those types of metrics based on what you guys are seeing? Maybe, you know, a lot of our people implement things like Facebook ads. So I know you could probably talk about that. Specifically, what are you seeing with Facebook? What types of touch points do we need to be having right now to, you know, really win?
So we look at lead sources in two different buckets. You have what we call proactive leads and reactive leads. A proactive lead is going to a site like Zillow, Realtor.com, Trulia, purposefully, proactively to get information. They are best to text right away, but then if they don't text you back, we automatically make a few phone calls also, by the way. We actually do make a couple calls right away because those are proactive leads and there's much more urgency to them. If they don't respond to that first text and the first phone calls, we also send an email and then we have a few other texts that go out. But we end up getting a hold of absolutely most people. Proactive leads are the best in terms of engagement. We end up getting almost 60% engagement on our first text and within 24 hours, we were over 90% engagement. A lot of that happens on text number two, which comes 15 minutes later after text number one, right? It like, let me know, ... right? And then people are like, oh yeah, hey, you know? So we get a hold of most people right away on proactive leads. Then you have reactive leads, which are leads that come from a Facebook, as an example. Basically, you interrupted their day with an ad. And there's nothing wrong with it, but let's call it what it is. And you should be advertising on Facebook. It's a great way to get a wider sphere and get a hold of people earlier in the cycle before they end up at a Zillow and find it someone else. So I recommend it. But it's important to know the difference and how to treat them differently. So a reactive lead, you interrupted their day, they fill out a form. Trust me, they don't want a phone call. So we learned not to even try to call them unless they request a call. Because when we called them, even the ones we got a hold of were just in a bad mood about it. They weren't happy about the call. They didn't lead to appointments. It just, yeah, we could pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, we got them on the phone, but it wasn't leading to appointments. So ultimately, that's not effective. What we do with them is we have a softer approach where we say, hey, we know you're probably just starting to browse, just want to be here for you to add value. Are there any specific neighborhoods you're interested in? I would love to set you up on a search so that you can start to keep a pulse on the market where you're interested in. And when you're ready and on your time, I am here to support you. Happy to jump on a call too if that's helpful, right? So it's a different approach as opposed to a Zillow where we're like, you want to see this home? What time, when, what other homes? Let's go do it. Because you know they're now actively in the hunt. So that's the key difference between the two. We text and call more aggressively on proactive leads, and we're a little more respectful, I would say, and cautious with reactive leads.
I love the distinction there. I hadn't necessarily, articulated it that way in the past, but that's nice. Proactive leads being people that are actively out there doing it and having a conversion strategy for that. And then, reactive leads. That's a great way to think about that as opposed to all of the tactful, I'm going to call, text, email. These are all my scripts. This is what I'm, like the, it's a great type of systematic approach. And I'm sure you guys do have a systematic approach to it, but thinking about it a little bit differently, that's a unique perspective to have on the lead gen side of things. I like that.
Yeah. There's no one size fits all. You got to treat them differently. One of the last things I'll say about that is that when we get on a call and we reach out quickly to a proactive lead, they're appreciative of our effort to reach out. Mm-hmm. If they didn't answer a call and our text and we call them and they answer, they're happy about it because they're more urgently looking too. And they just want the instant assistance, right? And they just kind of want to know, when can I go see this? Because they're afraid someone else is going to take that house that they love. So it is a very different psychology between proactive versus reactive.
Now, I'm asking you this because I know you have a lot of insights to data. Are you seeing lead sources that are doing better than others right now, kind of based on what you're talking about?
Yes, although I want to quantify that with something important, which is what are you paying for those sources?
Right. So,
hands down, there's no argument, the proactive sources, Zillow, Realtor, Trulia, are by far the best performing. Mm-hmm. They're also by far the most expensive, and they know it, and that's why they're most expensive, and they can command that. But one thing we tell our real estate partners to really try to hone in on and understand from a business metrics perspective, from a KPI, is not what is your cost per lead, but what is your cost per qualified lead? Mm. What we call qualified is a lead that we got a hold of and wanted to take the next step in a conversation.
Yeah.
Wanted to meet with you, talk with you, get set up on a search, really move down the funnel to any degree. So a Zillow lead, as an example, may be $50. Mm-hmm. And if 50% of them are qualified, let's just say one in two are good and they're great and they want to talk, which is a high number, but that's what we see around that, even higher. Then if they're $50 and 50% are qualified, your cost per qualified lead is $100. Mm. Now, if you're on Facebook and your Facebook leads are, you know, only $10, but only one in 10 are qualified, you're still paying the same. You're still paying $100 per qualified lead on Facebook. And so the answer here, and what I recommend is diversification, like you would with stocks. Stocks are investments. Same thing with lead gen. You're investing in sources that you're hoping you're going to see returns on. And it's important to diversify for a couple of reasons, I'll say. Not just because of that, but because Zillow leads are more expensive. They're scarcer, so you get fewer of them in a given month. Mm-hmm. And you're really waiting on someone to go to Zillow to fill it out and come to you. And but they may be quicker deals once you get them. But Facebook leads packaged in provide a layer of pipeline that you start to build and more immediate. And you can control your spend, whereas Zillow will say, sorry, those areas are sold out, right? Mm-hmm. Or unavailable. We're only doing referral partnerships, whatever it is now. But you get the gist. So it's good to balance both so you get more immediate traction and people you can start to go and see homes with earlier in the cycle. And some Zillow spend and other proactive lead gen spend, that's a little more down the funnel.
I love what you said right there. Don't look at your cost per lead. Look at your cost per qualified lead. I've taken it even to another extreme. I tell people, I don't believe you should buy leads. You should buy customers. You got to look way deeper into the transactional experience. Like, when are you actually getting a customer? So if I'm buying leads from Facebook and I'm using a service like Agentology out the door, what is your cost to get a customer? And is it profitable? Are you making a 3X, 4X, 5X, 6X, 7X return? And then when you understand what those metrics look like, then you understand the blueprint for scaling your business up to the degree that you want. And you can analyze this by source. So what is your cost to get a customer with Facebook? That should be a metric in your business. What is your cost to get a customer with Zillow? What is your cost to get a customer through referrals? What is your cost to get a customer with prospecting? You should understand these metrics. And people say, well, I don't have a cost to get a customer with prospecting because I'm spending my time. Your time has a value. You have a monetary value assessed to your time. I had somebody in here yesterday. It was $104 an hour is what they paid themselves. And if you look at what they spent, they were spending about most of the people that we work with spend about 8 times more per customer if they're spending their time, as opposed to if they were just to invest money to create, you know, a client experience that would bring them more customers. But I love that you're talking about, you're taking people a step back. There's too many people selling leads today. It's become so over commoditized. It's not even funny. It's one of the most irrelevant statistics that you could look at. It doesn't matter what your cost per lead is, unless it's way too high. It really, really, really matters what your cost per customer is. And that's something.
Cost per closing, right?
Cost per closing. Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. Yes. What is your cost per closing?
You're absolutely right. The cost per closing is the ultimate end metric you need to focus. You need to ultimately be most caring for. However, the reason we advise to look at cost per qualified lead is it gives you, since closing can take 4 to 12 months, this gives you the best leading indicator so that you don't go 12 months later and you're like, oh, I spent totally this year.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So you can get better leading indicators earlier on by measuring other parts of that funnel. The other thing I will say about that, although I completely agree, I mean, this is what we do as a business when we're trying to grow our customer base.
It's every business does as a business. Yeah.
LinkedIn versus Facebook versus organic versus Google versus trade shows versus, and we're analyzing it by channel. The difference that I've noticed between a company like ours, who's spending, you know, 6 figures a month on lead gen, versus a real estate agent who may not be generating more than 40 or 50 leads a month or 100, is you may give yourself a false positive or a false negative with one lucky sale that you got or didn't get. And so make sure that you have some type of minimum volume before you call something success or failure. So Zillow, you may want to have at least 100 or 200 leads that have come in through the pipe for you to call success or failure. I see too many agents get, you know, 10 Zillow leads and none of them have made a sale yet, and they just decide that's going to not work for them. You're too early. You do have to give things time to marinate and see if they're going to perform. Facebook, you're going to get far better, like, understanding quick because you're going to get volume. Mm-hmm. Zillow and Realtor, it's important to give those a little time and get at least 100 leads in the pipe so you can get at least a fair conversion rate.
I couldn't agree more. And real estate agents don't like this, but you have a high revenue per customer. So $5,000, $7,500, $10,000. You have a lot of money to figure out if something's going to work or not. I'm a huge advocate for trying to stay around the 20% mark. At least that's what we reinvest back in marketing, which allows your marketing budget just to set itself on fire. And I totally, totally agree. We have these reports that we have people look at, so they analyze their month, but it's like, hey, don't decide what's working based on your month, because real estate is cyclical. It happens in 90-day phases. You need to look at it quarterly. Yep. And realistically, you should look at it every 6 months to figure out what's good and what's not good. But, you know, you can take it to such an extreme degree. And obviously the more successful you are, I think the more you're analyzing it, because you can look at your cost per closing. You can look at your cost per pending. You can look at your cost per pipeline, like hunting. You can look at your cost per appointment. Like, you can reverse engineer all of those numbers and they will tell you exactly how to grow based on all those different sources. You're totally, totally right.
And like any business, when you understand your funnel, you can start to focus on each piece and be like, how can I create more upside and lift there? Yeah. So from a regular business, you know, I'll just use ourselves as an example. You know, we have at the rawest of forms, a cost per lead. This is not a consumer lead, but this is a real estate agent that's interested in signing up for agentology. We have a cost per lead, right? Let's just base it on one source. Okay. Then a percentage of them will book a demo. So now we have a cost per demo. A percentage of them will show up for the demo and complete it. So now we have a cost per completed demo. And then a percentage of them will sign up in the first 30 days, and a percentage of them won't, and maybe over a longer period of time. So we have this, hey, how can we lower our cost per lead? Okay, well, now once we have a demo booked, how can we increase the show rate for the demo, right? So all of these things, how can we create less friction to increase the demo complete to sign up and make it shorter and larger? So this is just on a personal level, but this is how an agent, if agents truly ran, and this is why I think teams are such a big component to the future, is they're running more like a business than a one-man business that's trying to do it all. It is very difficult to do it all. I don't blame agents for not having all of this data. It is a lot to take on while you're also chief salesperson, chief data,
and your coach or your broker or your team provided whatever is not teaching you to be a business owner. They're teaching you to be a producer. They're teaching you to go to make calls, go knock doors. You know, if you're going to run Facebook ads, great, generate as many leads as you possibly can. They're teaching you
that's
to
on top of funnel. That's yeah, on top of funnel.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's more leads in the funnel, more calls, more at-bats.
Because they're important.
Probably the most important. But once you have them in the funnel, how do you create lift along the way?
And that's leading me into my last question here is how do you create a good customer experience? Like when you pay attention to the experience that your people will have, you create just as a natural byproduct, a bigger and bigger and bigger, more scalable business. You guys are very, very, very good at this. I remember, I can't remember who the biz dev guy that, you know, I spoke with when I first learned about Agentology was, but you know, within a few days I had a box show up at my house. I got this nice wine glass. I got socks. I got, you know, I got all the stuff. You guys create,
we're also Grant Weiss. So, you know, you probably got more than most. So don't tell everyone all this.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, okay. Just forget everything I said, guys. That was just for me, but you guys are really good at creating customer experiences. What advice do you like to give people about creating a customer experience and how is that like intertwined in the sales process?
I love this question. It's a question that we're constantly focused on. It's consistency, and I'll give real examples because I know that sounds fluffy, but there's a quote, and it's, you know, trust equals consistency times time. Trust equals consistency times time. How you create a consistently good experience is you create a true process. Not a, here's what I'm going to do for this guy. Oh, here's what I'm going to do for that guy. Create a real process. So for us, you know, to your point, and I was just kidding, we do this a lot for a lot of our customers, is we say, well, as soon as someone signs up, we send them this swag and a personal note from the account exec to show that we care and to get them to wear some of our swag, to think about us. A month later, we have a check-in call, right? Like, this is design, right? This is a part of a process. We don't have to think about it every time. And so if you did this with new leads or new customers or people, once you've met with someone and you say, hey, I invite all of my new customers to get to meet the rest of my team, you know, and I do this 2 weeks later. And then a month later, I always send them this little like quick advice on like renting versus buying or why it's important to prep your house before you sell it, not when you're ready to sell it. Whatever that is, create a process that you use for buyers, for sellers, frankly, for renters, because you can turn renters into buyers if you have a process. And systematize it. The reason it's important to systematize is you create a consistent experience that you can then analyze to see if it's working or not. If we treated every customer that came to us differently, we're never going to know what's really working. Now, we're always trying new things. But that's called an A/B test. So we'll say, hey, we'll send you a shirt as soon as you sign up, or we'll send you a shirt after 3 months, right? And we'll see who mentions it more, who appreciates it more, because maybe some people cancel after a month and we gave them a shirt and we wasted that time and money. But maybe after someone has been here for 3 months, we celebrate them with a shirt and say, welcome to the club. You've been with us for 90 days. And so that's just a personal example, but how we're testing different strategies to create a better experience. What's important though is to create something consistent.
How can an agent do this on a hyper-local level? Because when you said that, my marketing brain kicked off and I'm like, okay, I'm going to create a personal show that, you know, just highlights my community. And when people opt in to go look at buying a home, I'm just going to send them a shirt about our community. It's like totally makes them feel like my marketing brain just instantly like clicked off. So let's go just like 2 minutes deeper into this. Like, how could I really, really do that on a hyper local level to create, you know, a great buyer experience or seller experience?
I have a few ideas. So, number one, this is based on the statistic that 72% of buyers and sellers will ultimately work with the first agent they meet with face to face. So the first goal should be get a face to face. So you should know why you're doing what you're doing, not just for the sake of doing it, but why. So goal number one is I want to strategize around how to create a process from taking them online to offline to meet me in person. Mm. So in my first attempt is going to be to always invite them to my monthly new buyer training system, or meetup, or my a client appreciation, or I offer everyone coffee or lunch, right? So as a first step, just try to get them to meet with you face to face. Come see my office, meet the team. Let me take you to lunch. Let me buy you coffee. Come to an event, right? They may say no, but it's okay. It was part of your process, and it doesn't mean that you stop there. Second step, hey, I know you're interested in this market. I want to understand all of my customers better. So would you mind spending 2 minutes filling out the short questionnaire about what's important to you in this market? Is it schools? Is it walkability? Is it restaurants, nightlife? Is it access to freeways? I want to get a deeper understanding from every one of my customers. Mm. You know, and so those are two quick ideas. One, you're getting a little trust built by meeting them face to face. The second, you're trying to dive in a little deeper to understand them. Maybe to understand, like, another question to ask them in that second one is, like, what is your why? Mm. Like, what is your purpose for wanting to move? Is it, you know, getting them to almost sell themselves to you? Oh, well, I just were having another kid, and I really want a place that my kids will be able to, I've been in a condo, and I really want a place that they can have a backyard because that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
Connecting with them emotionally. Other ideas are to send to standardize sending either a Starbucks, you know, card or a personal handwritten card, just checking in, building in reminders for birthdays and anniversaries of when someone closed on a home.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole process that is completely ignored, which is the post-closing process.
Yeah.
88% of consumers say they would use the same real estate agent again. Only 11% do. Mm. And that is because people only focus on up to closing and no one focuses on the beyond.
Yep.
You know, Bed Bath and Beyond, right? You need the beyond to keep going beyond the closing and make sure you have a process for that. So obvious ones for after someone closed. By the way, this may be your absolute best source of referral business. Take all the people you've already sold to and say, obviously on their anniversaries of their closing dates, I'm going to send them a thank you something. A card, if you can, send them a $20 gift. It just, the thought of it matters and it's going to pay off. Trust me. Secondly, hey, just a reminder to change your filters. Hey, did you know that there's this new incentive to replace your roof with solar? Hey, so you create a few of these benefits that you drip. And so you, now that you've been in your house for 3 months, I would love to come by and have a little welcome basket for you. What you're trying to do is just get them to see you again. Remember your face. Be happy to see you. Let them brag about their beautiful home, how they set it all up. What that does is it's spinning you in their mind. And that next, what are they doing? What is someone doing in the first 6 months to a year of their new home? They're inviting everybody they know to the house to show it off.
Yep.
When someone says, who'd you work with? How did you find this deal? Who do you want them to think about?
Right.
And if you're fresh and you go, oh, this guy's amazing. And you know what? He cared about me even after I closed the home. He still checks in with me. Actually, he just sent me this last week. He cares. He sent me this basket. Oh, you see this beautiful frame photo of us getting the keys? He gave that to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and a lot of that stuff, like you're talking about, it can be leveraged against automation. You can, I love personal automation. It is, yeah. You know, if you just set up a simple text that said, hey, how's it going for like 2.5 months to go out post-closing, it's automated. A system's going to do it, but it's so personal. And then it gets connected right to your phone. Just like even something that simple is fantastic.
Absolutely. And all of the CRMs and stuff can do that for you. They can automate text and things like that. We can do a lot of that, but a lot of systems out there can automate. In fact, that gives me the idea to send all of my, my mom a monthly, I love you text. I love you, mom. Automate love. but that's what you want to do is you want to automate whatever you can. At the very least, automate reminders to yourself so that your Salesforce or your calendar every month reminds you, check in with people I closed last month.
So easy to do. In our software platform, we have actually both. We have scheduled reminders. You click a button and you get an email and it's like, hey, there's the 10 people you have to remember to follow up with today. Or we actually built a scheduled messaging tool. So if you want to send a personal text as like a reminder text or something, you can pre-type the message and just schedule it. So in like 2 weeks, whatever it's supposed to go out. But I could not agree more. You know, the post-closing process is, some people do it very, very, very well. Some people don't do it well at all. We developed this thing called the referral funnel. And I'm big on video content and big on remarketing. And so we teach people to create segmented audiences of their past clients or their sphere of influence that go into these audience buckets that we show them how to create. And for less than a dollar a day in, you know, video marketing, Facebook ads, they can stay top of mind with their past clients and their sphere of influence. And through bots and all types of really cool things, they can ask for referrals. They can, biggest thing is staying top of mind and then asking for referrals pretty consistently. There's just so much. I mean, there's so much cool stuff that somebody could do.
I just want to throw one other thing out because you reminded me, which is video content.
Yeah.
Shooting with this powerful camera, shooting a quick, hey, Bob, got your inquiry. I know you're interested in this neighborhood. I'm actually at a listing in this neighborhood right now. And I just thought I'd walk you around this house real quick to see if it's of interest to you. Let me know if you want to schedule a time. You know, people really care about that personal touch.
Yes.
And so taking it beyond that initial text conversation to, I care about you and here's a quick little video I shot for you and it says your name in it. So then they know it's not some automated blast. People will feel obligated to respond and say, thank you, or hey, that's so nice. Thank you for thinking of me. So you can really leverage the amount of leads that you get. First of all, get boiled down to the ones that matter. That's what we help with, or you can do internally or whatever. Of those, give them freaking great amount of love and attention. A little video, relevant content, advice on it. Hey, this new restaurant just opened up in your neighborhood. Have you checked it out? Mm-hmm. Anything like that is super powerful.
I love it, man. I think we're leaking out of our time zone here. So I'm gonna respect your time, man. If somebody wanted to check out Agentology or connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, we actually, thank you for offering that. We put together a URL for all of your listeners to give them 50% off the setup fee. So they can save a few hundred bucks just off the bat. Agentology.com/Whitley.
W-I-T-L-Y, right? Agentology.com/Whitley. Guys, we'll make sure that we link that. But thank you for doing that. That's an incredibly gracious gift. That's awesome.
Sure. Friends of yours are friends of ours, and we look forward to working with many more.
Awesome. David, man, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you're busy. You're a world traveler, man. You're doing some amazing, amazing, amazing things. So thank you for all your contribution to the industry. It does mean a lot to me personally. And I know it means a lot to the industry too, because anything that we can do to keep the agent relevant, like you said earlier, is a big why here at our company. And I know that you guys are really passionate about that too. So thank you for spending the time investing in us. And hopefully we get some people that listen to this, go check David out, go check Agentology out. It's a great service. It's something that I have referred people to for a long, long time. And something that I've always gotten great feedback on. So I highly recommend that you go do that. So thanks again, David. I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks so much. Thank you for everything you do as well for the industry. You're the man. Thank you.
Awesome. I love it. Love it. Love it. Guys, thank you for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. Continue to listen to us on our website. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play. We will see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.